You're about to listen to the words and teachings of Pastor Shola Oshimakinde of the household of David. Be blessed.
Hold the Bible is your hand and just turn to Isaiah 52. Arise, Nigeria. But then I'm speaking to people of Nigeria. Arise and change your garments. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52. Let's start from verse 1. Isaiah 52. Awake. That's another word for arise. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee uncircumcised and the unclean. Next verse. Shake thyself from the dust and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Verse 3. For thus saith the Lord, you sold yourself for nothing, you shall be redeemed without money. Just say to your neighbor, arise. Read verse 1 to your neighbor. Hallelujah. Say, put on your beautiful garments. This is a prophetic service. Garments are changing. Of all the people under the sound of my voice this morning, it's not going to be the same you that walked in that is walking out. Put on your garments. Garments represent identity in the spirit. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. Garments represent identity in the spirit. And there are different types of garments mentioned in the Bible. So the Bible says here that put on thy beautiful garments. Now there is also a garment that is not beautiful. So in Isaiah 61, the Bible said the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and open the prison door to them that are bound. Said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of gladness for mourning, garment of praise, instead of spirit of heaviness. So there is beautiful garments. There is garment of praise. Now, hallelujah. Put on your beautiful garment. Now, the Bible talks about the garment of praise. What is a garment? Because you have to understand what is happening to everybody this morning. They did not only crucify Jesus, they also parted his garments. Many people are not aware of that. Why? Let me say this ahead of time. Second service, this first service, I'll be dwelling on Joseph. But second service, I'll be dwelling on Jacob. All that made Jacob to steal the blessing of Esau was that the mother put the garment of Esau on Jacob. The father recognized that the voice speaking was the voice of Jacob. But the garment on it was the garment of Esau. So he took the blessing. Anytime God wants to do something, hey, you can have your seat briefly. I am not just ministering this morning. I feel the anointing. Yokes have been destroyed. The Bible talks about many types of garments. But let's start with Joseph. And let's read. His story started from Genesis 37. Hallelujah. Garments represent identity. Especially in the spirit realm. It reveals who you are, and the way you are dressed is the way you will be addressed. If you step out of this church on your way home and you see somebody in a military uniform, you don't know his name, you've never met him before, but intuitively you know instinctively, this is a soldier, and you go by the word officer. Somehow, when you want to greet them, you even do like this. You don't do like this in the hospital to a doctor. Then when somebody puts stethoscope on and he wears something white, then you know this is a doctor. In fact, you can almost tell choir in some churches. When you enter a church and you see a group of people wearing robe, you know these are the choir people. In other words, garments, uniform, attire, they reveal who a man is. And there are things that they do. They show, number one, identity. Number two, garments represent seasons. Number three, garment represents situations. Hallelujah. And then number four, it represents levels, authority, levels. Naturally, when you see somebody with a full agbada, poor people don't so dress like that many times. Are you hearing me? When you get to an office and you see everybody in tie and suit, and somebody comes out of the office with a full agbada, you will know that's likely to be the MD or the CEO. Among the soldiers, based on how they appear, you can tell their ranks. Is that right? When you get to a palace, you can't mistake the king. And part of it is the dressing of a king. So, it shows levels. In some secondary school like mine, SS3 students were the only people permitted to wear trousers, the rest of us shorts. That was my secondary school. And then SS3 ladies who wear skirts, the rest pinafore. So we're looking forward to getting to SS3 and wearing trousers. But the bad thing was, the interesting was, when we got there, we didn't want to wear it. We're waiting for someone to wear it first. All of us had our trousers intact in the house, but we're still wearing short the first week. Waiting for, everybody wanted to be the last person to wear your trousers and shine. So your classmates will wear, three guys will wear today to become 10 tomorrow, 15 tomorrow. And then I came my trousers, and then the teacher said, all of you prepare, you must wear your trousers from the first day. So in my school, you could tell that this is in SS3, highest level in the school, by what they wore. Are you following me? So garments, clothing, dressing, tells levels. Then it tells circumstances or situation. When people die, we wear black here, but in some other countries they wear white. When a person is mourning, if a woman's husband should die and the following day she's wearing gele and the clothes shining, everybody will have a problem with that. She has not done anything wrong physically, but the dressing does not match the situation of her life. Are you with me? Then if they say that they've just honored somebody to be the governor and he wears rag. In fact, in the Bible days, when they were sad, they wear sackcloth, a garment of sorrow. We also wear garments. It also, garments also, they determine season. There is a way you dress in the morning. There is a way you dress when you're about to go to bed. Am I right? And the way you dress, some men, when they want to go to bed, abroad they wear pajamas. In Nigeria, they wear their boxers. Hallelujah. But then you can tell, even if somebody knocks and you're about to retire, many times some of you have to dress again before you go to open the door. Because there is a way you, so the time to sleep is different from how you dress when you are going out. Did you get what I've just said now? Praise the Lord. I said four things, right? Maybe I should add the first one. Dressing also It has to do with what you are about to do. At times, if you are about to fix your car in the house, you are likely to first of all go and remove this native. Because you are about to go under something, or if you are about to weed your garden, you don't dress like many of you are dressed this morning and take cutlass and hoe. If you are to work on your garden this afternoon, most likely first of all go in and change. Then you wear something that it won't pay you if dirty water should splash on it. Am I right? As it is in the physical, so it is also in the realm of the spirit. Dressing communicates garment. As I'm seeing everybody, that's what I believe by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If there are garments that are wrong, they are not going back with you to the house. Before I go to David, you know, I just saw in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. You will notice that when he returned home, the first thing the father did was to ask for a new robe to be put on him. Something left. So from time to time, you are either being robed with something or a robe being taken away from you. Depending on what God is about to do in your life. The Bible says in that Luke 15, when he went to the foreign land, the Bible said no man gave to him. No man gave to him. When he left the father's house, spiritually, something left him. People don't know. I said, please, all through the message, whether we continue next week or second service, keep holding on to this word. You will be addressed the way you are dressed. So when somebody is dressed like somebody mourning, ekpele will likely be what they will say. When you see somebody uniform, you say officer. Your address is always according to the dressing of the person. And as you see a doctor, the salutation and the communication that you give changes as you see a doctor from that of a policeman or a military man. In the spirit realm, the garment of people also, it attracts what they get physically. This is why we are getting to something serious. Some get a job, lose it. Some get a job, they do well, but everybody hates them in the office. They know they've not done anything to warrant to merit the hatred, but it's coming at them all the same. No matter how many times people are in need, nobody helps them. They either, when they are telling their friend, it's always too late. The person would have given to somebody, and then after them, I give to someone else. But when it is them, something, there is a wrong identity tagged on you spiritually. I'm not a deliverance minister, I'm word of faith teacher, but I'm going to show you from the Bible how these things work. That's what the Bible said, that he has given them garment of praise instead of spirit of heaviness. If the garment does not change, the result will never change. All through the Bible, different types of garments were mentioned. So the prodigal son got home, and the father said, put a new robe on him. That is the only way he can come to the house and his identity can change. When he was in the father's house, he said to the father one day, give me all the things that belong to me. And the father divided his inheritance into two and gave him half. In other words, when you study the Bible, always pay attention to what? The first time he made the request that I need half of your wealth, the father gave him half of his wealth free of charge. But this same guy, when he was in the other foreign land, the Bible said no man gave to him. How did he move from somebody who with one request got half of a man's wealth to somebody who will be begging people repeatedly and nobody gave to him? In other words, there are people, when they ever have a need and they reach out to people, people overgive to them. Oh, I'll say, okay, I have 100, let me just give you 100. You pay back in 6 months. They respond, and in 24 hours, the needs are met. Some other people, they beg, go around nobody. Hallelujah. Are you with me? There are probably women watching me. No matter what they do, the man will never appreciate it. Until something changes. Garments, robes. Before we go to Joseph, which we'll dwell on briefly this morning, What are different garments mentioned in the Bible? I've just told you one. Garments of praise. Beautiful garments. Figs. And they all have meanings. When Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with figs. That is a garment of shame. In Genesis 38, a man called Judah, he went out, long story, the daughter-in-law, and then he discovered. Now, there is what is called the garment of a harlot. There's what is called the garment of a widow. Proverbs 7, I think 11, talks about the attire of a harlot. Are you with me? I want to read this one. Genesis 38. I'm trying to look for what happened to Judah somewhere before we go to David. Genesis 38. Somewhere along the line, the Bible talks about she put aside the garment of her widowhood. What verse is that? Verse 14. Genesis 38, verse 14. Give us verse 14. And she put her widow's garment off. So there is a garment of a widow. There is garment of praise. There are garments called mantle. We will not get to all these ones today. But remember, when Elisha asked Elijah for double portion of his spirit, the only thing he left for him was his mantle. When Elisha took the mantle and put it on, he commanded water to open. He spilled the water with it. The result of Elijah rested on Elisha when his garment rested on him. What happened was that in the realm of the spirits, the way they saw Elijah all through before he went to the chariot to heaven was the same way they started seeing Elisha when the mantle of Elijah, which was the outer coat, came upon him. There is a garment of priests. And God told Moses strict instructions about that garment. How they should pass it from generation to generation, and Aaron must not wear it outside the tabernacle. There are garments that don't go out. But that's not our focus today. There is a garment of a king. Now, Joseph, Genesis 37. So I just mentioned a few. Did you get what I've just said now? Yes, hallelujah. So many garments mentioned in the Bible, and they all have meaning. Now, this girl that we read about, who was daughter-in-law to Judah, who later got pregnant for her father-in-law, the one we talk about, the dressing of a widow. The day, as a widow, no man ever came to her. So she sat on the road. You know, as a widow, she was just sitting down. Then she heard that her father-in-law was in town. Because she wanted the father-in-law to have intercourse with her, she removed her widow's garments. If the widow's garment was still on her, she wouldn't achieve her goal. While I was praying this morning, there are veils. When a garment is like a veil, veil is that which veils something, it covers something. I don't say this as a doctrine, and I don't say this like it's a general rule. But the reason why some women are not married, who are old enough to marry, they are wearing a veil spiritually. They are nice, they are up and doing, everything is fine. Everything. People would rather go for another woman that will give them trouble than them. Veil. So this woman along the line, she removed. And what we are going to get to is that, how do we change garments? But first of all, to just say that, remember where we're coming from. Number one, I said, garments, they represent season, identity, situation, what you want to do, and so on. I mentioned five things then. Then I also said there are different types of garments. Is that okay? Now let's look at Joseph. The last thing we'll deal with, but not today, is how do we change garments? But I'm going to pray for everybody at the end of this service. When that thing is happening to you that the prodigal son experienced, and no man gave to him, something is wrong somewhere. Lest I forget, I'm going to say, we will dwell on this also out there. Listen to me, everybody. Praise is a strong fragrance, sweet fragrance in the spirit. There is a way you smell. Oh, we'll get to We get to that second service. Before Isaac finally released the blessing, he just pulled Jacob close by and smelt him. And the blessing started. He said, the smell of my son is like a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Everybody carries an aroma in the spirit. Paul said that we are an aroma unto death to some, and unto some unto life. Everybody. The person who is saying no to you, he does not even know why he's saying no. But this is a spirit-to-spirit communication. Are you following me? Is somebody getting me this morning? Are you with me? It's 9:25. Jesus Christ. Time is as if time acts as if during Sunday service, time acts as if it doesn't like me. It runs very fast. Oh dear Lord Jesus. Okay, let's just talk about Jacob. Jacob dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger, land of Canaan. Verse 2, please. We need to help me to be fast. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. That alone is quite connoted. Can you imagine? These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. Joseph was not the first born, was not the second born, yet they were defining the lineage by him. A man had 12 children. Reuben was the first born. Simeon was the second born. Levi was the third born. Judah was the fourth born. How did they skip? Then you have Dan, Naphtali, Issachar, and you have all of them like that. And they skip to the 11th child to define a family lineage. In Yoruba tradition, they will get angry. Say, this is the generations of Jacob. It should be Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. And then you can get to Joseph later. But he said, this generation, Joseph. I say to everybody, whether in the office or anywhere you are, you will stand out. Yeah. Can somebody shout a louder amen? Yeah. Are you with me? Just look at the description. Then, verse 3 is where I'm going. Now, Israel loved Jacob more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He made unto him a coat of many colors. This one is a long sermon. When you wear a coat of many colors, what you should never do. But that's not for today. A coat of many colors, it represents love. See, he came to Jacob, Joseph, from a father that loved him. What will always happen is that if you wear this coat, somehow, those who are in the position to bless and to help will always respond to you. But then, this cloth, also this particular one, triggers the highest level of bitterness. People will hate you and fight you. You are the type that walk into a company and in 6 months, you can be taken to the highest level there. The one that walk into a church and they will almost break all rules for you. The pastor will just say that, you know, I just want her to start doing this and that. And this kind of garments, it attracts envy also. Not from an enemy, from your brethren. The Bible talks about the fact that everybody loved David, even Saul. He brought him to his house and he became the guy playing violin for him. But the women started the problem. Problem will start that you have nothing to do with. Saul has killed 1,000, David 10,000, and the problem started. Paul did not start by hating David. David did not start by offending Saul. The women start. Sorry. Why did the women come out to start clapping? Those who went to battle, they sorted the issue there. They praised God. They thanked God for the victory. They were coming home. And this only happened many, many days after the battle. In those days, you will travel to go and fight, and you come back. And then the women just started their wala. And Saul was like, chai, did they just say that? And he was enraged. Now, coat of many colors. Father's love. And with this coat, he kept dreaming of everybody bowing to him. It's an identity that makes things happen in your life. And then, because I want to stop here, if you go down to verse 17, the day the brothers would descend on him, the first thing they did was to remove that clothes. These are statements in the spirit. Go down verse 17, verse 18. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 19. And they said, one of them, there come a dreamer. 20. 21. I want where they removed his clothes. 22, 23. What verse is that? 23. It came to pass when Joseph was come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was upon him. I will stop here. I will just remind you the admonition of our Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at the disciples. In the book of Revelation, he spoke to one of the churches. He said, "Hold on to your garment, lest you walk naked." Because if they did not remove this coat from him, all other atrocities committed against him wouldn't work. Somehow, of course, these were men in the Old Testament. They did not know the implication of what they were doing. But the Old Testament was shadow. This is substance. It was flesh. This is spirit. They demonstrated something. That as long as, so the first thing they said, if this guy will be arrested by us, if this guy will be sold into slavery, coat of many color must go. So they removed. When they removed it from him, it became like an ordinary person that could be sold by his own brethren. There must have been the reason why Jesus said, I think that Revelation 2:16 or 3:16, that let no man take your garment, lest you walk naked. How do you retain your garment if it is the right time? And how do you move from one garment to a higher one? That is where we might begin to start from next week. Mrs. Potiphar held him. What did he leave with her? His clothes. And when we start next Sunday, the day Pharaoh asked him to come out of prison, that should be chapter 41, what was the first thing that he did? He changed his garment and shaved. There was a garment meant for the prisoners that he wore. But the day Pharaoh said, before he appeared before Pharaoh, he had to change a garment. There are garments that you don't wear to go and see kings. In fact, you will not see kings until you change into certain garments. That was the statement he was making. There are garments that when they are on you, that is the only time you can see kings of this world. When they are not on you, you cannot see kings. So Pharaoh said, bring him. The first thing he did was to change before the appearance. Haven't you read? Is that Mark chapter 10, maybe verse 55? What happened to blind Bartimaeus? When Jesus said, come, the same thing. Pharaoh said, bring Joseph. Before he appeared before Pharaoh, he changed his garment. Jesus said, let the guy come. Bible says, as soon as they told that he's calling you, he threw away his garments. That particular garment he wore was not the type he must wear to meet the master. So he threw it away before he went to Jesus Christ. He was sure of one thing. I will never return to that garment again. Pharaoh did not request that Joseph should change his garment. But he understood that certain changes. No wonder when Pharaoh saw him, Joseph said, look for a man. Pharaoh said, you are the man. A person can move from a prisoner to a king in no time. And after he interpreted the dream, Pharaoh gave him another robe again to represent another level.
I love you forever.
Thank you, Jesus.
You reign. You reign on the king. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
Lift up your hands on your seat and just pray.
You reign on your king. Kadosh, Kadosh.
There is a fragrance in praise, a sweet smelling fragrance in praise.
You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign,
my Lord.
You reign, Zion's King.
We Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
I want to lead us in prayer for about 3 minutes, but before I do, I want to read the scripture that you will pray with. I want to reserve this for second. I wanted to take this to second service, but why singing now? Give me Joshua chapter 3. Sorry, Zechariah chapter 3, rather. Sorry. Story of Joshua, but Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah 3. Let's start from verse 1. Zechariah 3. I sense in my spirit. The first thing that will happen, first set of people that will receive a miracle this morning are those who are in this description, because the anointing of God, part of the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good tidings. Part of the anointing is to appoint to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. So exchange is happening this morning. Look at this. It showed me Joshua the high priest. You can even be a very spiritual man and still be wearing wrong garment. This is why some of us have mothers, sisters, nephews, aunties who are in this category. They fast and pray. They go from mountain to mountain. They are spiritual. They do 7 days, 8 days. Yet they are seriously poverty stricken. I mean no disrespect. It's a burden in my heart. I see a lot of people. There are many faithful Christians who are broke and poor. This is what happened to them. Joshua 1. Go, please, go back to verse 1, please. Don't go ahead of me. Verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord, before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Are you seeing resistance in your life and people resisting you? Verse 2. You are going to see this now. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem. Verse 3. Now look at why he was being resisted and being accused. Now Joshua was clothed in a filthy garment. Oh, and stood before the angel. When you wear a filthy garment spiritually, all that will be coming to you are accusations. If they ever get a good job, somebody will give them problem at work and then they will fire them. Someone will do something wrong, but they will put it on your head. This is, some get into a very wonderful relationship, somebody will just come and scatter the relationship. Satan accused. He was dressed. He was high priest. You can liken that to a believer, yet fill the garment. Verse 4. And he answered and spake, take away the filthy garment from him. And he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Verse 5. You see how seriously God takes this change. And he said, let them set a fair turban on his head. He set it upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Verse 6. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua. If you read on, the angel now gave him the right message. We are going to make you a pillar. But before the message was given to him, they first of all changed the garment. So the man 1 minute ago was the one in a position to be accused and attacked. The garment changed. They said something on his head and changed his garment. He became a man that will represent God on some things. If you are here and it looks like you wear a filthy garment, and if you are here, you don't feel that royal robe on yourself from what you see around. Everybody begin to pray. Say, Lord, touch me. He touch me. He touch me. I know the joy. Something, something, something.
Something happened.
And I know
now.
He touched me
and made
you know what I see. for some, it's not that they wear filthy garments, but there is a veil. The glory that should emanate from their lives, their skill, their ability, the good things about them is being veiled. Men and brethren, but we are in Christ Jesus. When he died, he tore the curtain into two from head to bottom, that nothing should be veiled again. So that a believer can make that declaration, nothing can veil me. Nothing can veil the beauty of Jesus that is in me. I am not asking you to seek for deliverance this morning. No, I'm asking you to recognize that you are in Christ and there is a shift. Lay hold of that shift and stand on it. That's what I'm saying. Mashuka barakatosia. If you need to speak loud, do that right now. If you need to command a stop to the activities of darkness in your life and declare that you have been brought into light, there is no reason for darkness to exist in any part of your life. I wear the garment of praise. I cannot allow any other garments. I refuse, Satan, whatever you are trying to stick on me. My identity is in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm into glory. Any other identity, I command it to go. It can't be for me. Don't make declarations silently. Say it loud and clear. If you need to stand, stand and speak. Power is in the atmosphere. Take advantage of the anointing that is present this morning. Hallelujah. Can we stand, everybody, please? You see, on Sunday, we're always under the pressure of time. Now, let me say this to everybody. Next week, Sunday, as the Lord has instructed us that one Sunday in the month, we should have a time of worship and praise in the evening. I told that praise is a sweet fragrance in the spirit. When it's on you, you smell like perf. It's real. Of course, we saw that in Isaiah 61. Now, what I'm going to do, the second thing are powerful scriptural New Testament declarations. They show who you are in the spirit. Now, on Sunday, because we have time, it's not morning service, there's no message. When we sing for about 40 minutes or there, about 30, 40, I'm going to come up. And we are going to make some powerful, mighty declarations. Did we choose 5 to 6? 5 p.m. on Sunday, just 1 hour. We had it October 1st also. We started 8 and we ended exactly now on the dots. So it's not a service where I will say, give me more time. No. I will come up by 35 minutes or 40 into the worship and we speak. Watch what will happen when you step out. So I'm asking everybody, don't miss next Sunday, 5 to 6. It's important. It will happen once in every month. The last time I led prayers like this in the morning, one of my sisters called me, the boss listened to the message and said, can I get that confession? When the anointing is present through praise and people speak, it's like petrol and fire. And then when you do it in the congregation of other saints, something, don't miss next Sunday, 5 p.m. And that doesn't mean you should not come in the morning. It happened just once in a month. I ask you to come in the evening. 5 to 6, 1 hour. 1 hour of tearing a garment and wearing a new one by worship and by the word of your mouth. And we are going to see it. I would have taught a bit of it. I would teach on it in the morning. Then we'll do a practical demonstration in the evening. When the service ends, on your own, keep praying. And I say, if the Lord is stirring you up all week long to keep praying, what I see, even as I'm looking at all of you now, the speed with which you will move. You see, I have met, even, I don't say all these things out, even some of the popular secular DJ artists, a few times, I've met with some of them in my office who will come and talk. When you meet people who are great, who are popular, the first thing you discover is that they are not different from people you see every day. Time and chance. So I'm looking at people here. It will shock some of you to discover, if you discover how far you could have gone in life compared to where you are right now. It will amaze you. Until you meet somebody and you discover that they are just probably in conversing, you are far more brilliant. But there is something restricting you. It's like those who are married are not different from those who are not married. It's not that they have some special skill. The race is not to the swift. Maybe our pastor that will talk about missed opportunity. I don't know to miss opportunities in life. But that's not for today. But I'm just saying that everybody, get ready. By the time we are through, you would have taken your life many days. First thing you will discover is that God is never against any man's progress if he does not contradict his word. God's plan is always far ahead of yours. You're always behind in the scheme of things. But there comes a time, something rests on you. You get out there, whatever you do, and you see speed. You see opportunities, opportunities opening up. You see speed. Men of, see, last week I was in Abuja. I need to say this. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not saying you should do this necessarily. I'm just giving an example. My friend, the pastor, came to see me and he was discussing it. This brother came to meet him. He came to give him 540,000. Please, I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just giving. He said, God said. And the guy said, no, I know you want to use this money to buy a car. He said, yes. He said, but God said I should give you. 2 weeks after. Now, I told those who were around me that I would give them the name of the guy and you can go and check. Somebody called him from South Africa and said, are you interested in doing masters in South Africa? And he said, I don't have money. And the man, he said, did I talk about money? Then next he said, I'm not reaching all this gym, all this. The man said, oh, you are annoying me. The answer should be yes or no. All I want is, are you interested? Interest. He said, yes. He said, can you put up an application now? He said, because before the end of today, you will receive your admission letter. Then he says, school. I will give you the name if I check that. The professor there in IT area, no students have never graduated under him. He's so good that 3 months into training students, lecturing them, Nokia and all the telecoms from abroad will come and pick them. The man, one of the best in the world in teaching people how to be productive in IT. Anybody. So he said, he met this Nigerian guy and said, can you help me look for students from Nigeria? The only thing I need from them is to write an undertaking that they will finish the masters under me. They will not run away. He said, because I have never been able to graduate any student. He said, once I begin to lecture and training them and they are getting, we get to practicals, he said, telecom something we come from abroad, China and America, and they will steal all of them away. They will load them with what offer that we cannot refuse. The guy said that, so all I need to do to sign an undertaking, I've been praying for years to do masters. Undertaking, here I sign. And he signed and he was happy, he was doing master. Then he understood why the man made him to sign ahead of time. 9 months into the program also, they came for him. Imagine being told to be paid $4 million a month. He wanted to run. And the professor showed him. A contract is a contract. You know, that guy could have called some other people. His name just came. Ah. One day, they called them in the office. My wife, you know, she's a banker. And they gave them car loan. And we didn't exactly need it. But then, when they give car loan, you must register a car. So where to get one? They gave us some millions. And I said that, okay, so I'm going to give her one of the cars. And for some reason, I just went somewhere and I met this guy. Ah! And I told three of our pastors, I said, that's the guy I want to give the car to. The guy didn't tell me anything about car. And when I told the pastor, I said, yes. Ah, Pastor, I think you should give that guy. But there are many names around me. Every month I made a covenant with God. Apart from, I don't give tithe, I give far more than that. Then I look for, I do about three people who I need and I give to them. But usually every month I have up to 11, 12 people on my list. How do I select every now and then? So that means every month some don't get, some get. And some will not even stress the need, but they are the ones I will feel like responding to. What controls all these things? Then the day I now gave to one, who I even found out I wasted the money, later is why I called and reported him. I shouldn't have given to him. It was after giving, that particular time we had a need in the church, so I exhausted my account. It was after I was done that this friend, this guy now called, and his own need was genuine. I sat and put my head on the table and I was like, dear Lord Jesus, why is he calling now? Just yesterday, I just gave this. He needed like 45K or so. I just gave 90,000 yesterday to somebody. And I exhausted. I said, I don't know what to do again. And this message is setting in my brain, what is going on? The one I gave to just went to squander it. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Somebody bless this morning. Shout a living hallelujah.
Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. You know, we never like to end without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Coming into Christ is beyond joining a church, is beyond a religion. It is joining God's family. And that is done when you believe in Christ Jesus. So I just want to lead you right away now. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again and that you paid for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And from today, I belong to you. If you have said those words, will be late. You are born again. You are part of God's family right now. You can go ahead and rejoice about it. God bless you. We love you. Stay blessed.